8:07, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's Trey Bennett and the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK, making junk disappear from your home, your office, your storage unit. You got something that you've been trying to get around to doing. Maybe you've set a goal for this year to get organized, but you got to get the junk out of there first. They can handle it. That's what they do every day. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's in their name. And they can also, what's great is, even split a load. If you're somebody that has some junk, you know, that needs to go, but you have that item, you have a dining room table or whatever it is, and you want to donate it to a local charity, they can also take that by the local charity for you as well. So just give them a call, see what they can do for you. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. You'll be dealing with local franchisee, and my buddy, been doing this for 10 years in Mobile and Baldwin County, Trey Bennett. Give him a call today. All right, it's a Tuesday. We check in with our buddy Quinn Hillier from Quinn Hillier. Also the author of Mad Jones Heretic, and you'll be doing an event on Saturday for the book.
Yes, indeed. This is my novel, Mad Jones Heretic. I'll tell you a bit about it in a second, but I'm having a book signing at Carpe Diem Coffee House on Old Shell Road Saturday morning, 10 a.m. till noon. And the significance of that is that I wrote more than half of the book while sitting there at Carpe Diem years ago. I spent part of my time writing it from home, but more than half of it writing from a table at Carpe Diem. And I set several scenes in Carpe Diem, and as well as several other places around Mobile. But Carpe Diem is really, in a way, the caffeinated home of Mad Jones Heretic.
Your HQ.
So again, Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon.
Your headquarters there.
Yes, indeed.
This will make for a great belated Father's Day gift as well.
It would. And what this is, actually, it's the first of a trilogy. I wrote one big novel 15 years ago, and the publishing house, which is, by the way, it's published by an imprint of Adam Bellow, a very successful publisher who also happens to be the son of Saul Bellow. Saul Bellow is the only American ever to win both the Pulitzer and the Nobel Prizes for fiction. So Adam comes from a line that understands what good fiction is. Well, but he doesn't like big, long novels, so he broke it one novel into three, and this is the first one. The second one's coming out actually in about 2 weeks, but this is the first one, Mad Jones Heretic, and it's satire on modern media, politics, and religion all at the same time. It's supposed to be I'm getting ahead of things here, but it's supposed to be good fun. It's a rollicking, good read with some humor in it and you know, poking fun at what modern politics, media, and religion all do and how they interact with each other.
Now, okay, if we qualify this as is it an inside or a beach read, or could it be both? It's summertime, Quinn, almost.
Because they broke it down into three shorter novels and it's a paperback, it's certainly this first one is short enough for a beach read. And, you know, on the surface as a satire, sort of a lot of humor in it, you can just read it because it's a good read and it's fun. Underneath, though, the satire is layered on top of what underneath is a novel that deals with some serious issues of faith. And, you know, there are a lot of themes of faith running through it, which I can explain in a minute how that comes about. But basically, it's one of these books that's supposed to be fun on the surface and make you think if you want to go back and think about it more.
Yeah, this is brings up a side note discussion here, and because you've said satire a couple times so often on the show that I'll reference satire or my love of Jonathan Swift and what was done there for satire. But there's in today's world, satire is not nearly as popular as just straight comedy. You know, it's an interesting. I actually enjoy satire more. I enjoy the wink more than the guffaw. You know, and it's something that I think is being lost as a craft.
Well, yeah, and I'm like you. The reason I wrote satire is because I prefer that than straight over the top, laugh out loud funny. I'd rather sort of personally, if I'm reading something, I'd rather sort of get a chuckle, and the chuckle sort of grows, and it sort of lasts, though, rather than something that's just, you know, that's slapstick. And that's what I tried to create here. Now, it's all on top of something that sounds like almost a grim setup. My character, Madison Jones, has suffered, starts the book, has suffered a series of tragedies, and he's venting at the world. He's furious. He's venting at God. So he writes these religious theses, sort of like Martin Luther did 500 years ago, and he nails them, or thumbtacks them, actually, to church doors. And he's just venting. He thinks he's, you know, this is just his way of expressing his barbaric yawp, as they say. Anyway, I won't get into barbaric yawp. And he thinks he's done with it. But this is the modern communications world. He gets a following. People think that he's some serious theologian. And he gets his big internet following and becomes controversial. And he's just trying to make it all go away at first. But some of the stuff that he's written theologically becomes so controversial that the media jumps in and writes a lot about it and, of course, gets half of it wrong. And the politicians even jump in and they take sides. And so everybody's getting hyped up, and it's this, you know, you've seen this thing, this instant celebrity, this age we live in where we have instant celebrity. Well, that's what happens to this guy. And the book is about him trying to navigate it when he's an instant celebrity without even meaning to be.
There you go. And people can, I know we talk about going online to get it, but they can actually purchase a copy from you Saturday morning and get that autograph.
Yes, they can. I'll have several dozen copies with me Saturday morning. Bring $20, and again, Saturday morning, 10 a.m. to noon at Carpe Diem Coffee House. And if you cannot get there, then please do order it online at Amazon. There's also a Kindle edition. Order it online there, and heck, if you want me to sign it, email me through the station or something like that, and I'll find out. I'll figure out another way to get to sign it for you. But what, please do come Saturday morning.
What about the audio book? When is that going to debut?
Nobody said anything to me about an audio book. That's such a funny voice. They might not want to listen to me for more than the 9 minutes that you've got me on every Tuesday morning.
Well, we'll look into that. That'll be next. So once again, Carpe Diem, Saturday morning, starting what time?
10 a.m. to noon. Anytime in there, I'll just be set up signing books. I'm not really giving a talk on it or anything. It's just a book signing. But come get a cup of coffee. And again, this is a book that was nourished there with the caffeinated thoughts that come from Carpe Diem's coffee. I sat and I wrote it there. And so it's a good place to be back doing the signing.
All right. Great stuff, Quinn. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much.
Quinn Hill, you're checking in, and we're rolling on state politics. Oh, yeah, a lot of talk about from yesterday's news cycle. Alabama Power pulling their support from the Business Council of Alabama. We'll talk about that. All right, 821 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings Tuesday style. Glad you're here. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106, also for the text line. Love to hear from you. And by the way, too, I have not some of a failure in a New Year's resolution. I was good for like 3 months with this, and then I fell off the wagon here, reminding folks about the app. We have the promos and all that stuff that run, but it's better for me to tell you, just you and I.
Let's
okay? TuneIn Radio. That is the app you use for your smartphone, for your Android or your iPhone. It is a really great app. I've been running it for years and years and years and years. It's never given me a lick of trouble as other apps do. This one doesn't. TuneIn Radio. And when you go there, you just download TuneIn Radio, free download, free app, and hit local radio, FM Talk 106.5. And it's really neat, too, because if you get a phone call or a text comes in, it pauses the audio. So if mama calls or whatever, you take the call, do the thing, and then you pick the show back up where you left off. Mm-hmm. So it's an audio DVR of sorts there with TuneIn Radio. Also through TuneIn Radio, get podcasts of our shows. Now, we're podcast a lot of places, from iTunes to Stitcher to we're on gosh, I'm forgetting all the names now. We're on Spotify now. Yeah, on Android phones, Stitcher's probably best. Obviously, iTunes for iPhones. But you can go to Spotify if that's where you go get your music and get our podcast there. Of course, you can go a la carte and get them from our website, fmtalk1065.com, and also through the TuneIn Radio app. So it's a really handy one to have on there. It doesn't take up a bunch of space and lets you listen to the station wherever you go. So check it out. Tune in. Those two words mashed together. Tune in radio.
And F-R-E-E. Free.
Yes, that's right.
Part of the budget, especially
free ninety nine.
And when you're also on our website, you also can. Let's say you didn't hear Dr. Bill's forecast the first time, or maybe it's updated since over the hours, and you're wondering how to plan the rest of your day and your week. It's another great way to check on that, the forecast, and of course our three big things.
Yeah, that's right. And the online opinion poll question this morning brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Do you agree with tougher enforcement of immigration laws, even if it means separating children from their parents? Right now, 86% of y'all say yes, 14% no. We'll talk about that some. But I do want to talk some Alabama politics. I thought this was of note yesterday, and it came out during the midday show, when Alabama Power announced that they were withdrawing from BCA, Business Council of Alabama. They sent this letter that I guess Alabama political reporter got a copy of the letter and then put it out, said the letter was effective immediately, that Alabama Power was pulling out of what is a big gorilla in state politics, and that's BCA. Story from Dennis Pillion over at AL.com said Alabama Power spokesman Michael Schneiderman confirmed the company's decision to leave the BCA, which was first reported by the Alabama Political Reporter, but declined to make further comment at this time. According to the letter, Crosswhite, who is the Alabama Power CEO, Mark Crosswhite, who wrote the letter, Crosswhite said Alabama Power was leaving the powerful business group because the organization had, quote, needlessly alienated federal and state officials, failed to communicate with its own members, squandered our collective corporate goodwill. That means money, y'all. Corporate goodwill, that means money. And allowed its financial health to decline and become a divisive force in our state, end quote. Letter was addressed to BCA Chairman Perry Hand, stating the power company had expressed concerns with BCA leadership since August of 2017 with no meaningful response. All right, the side story to that, remember last year they had their big meeting down here at, I think it was the Grand Hotel or whatever, and at that point there was already issue back in August of 2017. Crosswhite wrote, at this point, further discussions would be fruitless and a waste of everyone's time, end quote. Crosswhite said Alabama Power was a founding member of BCA, but the company has become, quote, concerned that membership in the BCA has become a liability rather than a benefit, end quote. BCA released a letter addressed to Crosswhite in response to Alabama Power's decision, saying the utility had not been a member of the group since April because of non-payment of dues. Quote, as you know, we have worked diligently to address the concerns and issues you have raised. However, we have not, in good conscience, been able to adhere to the deadline dates you have prescribed to our executive committee, said the letter signed by Hand. So, yes.
Oh, I was just going to add, and then when you go to the very next, sentence, the letter then describes numerous conversations between Crosswhite and the BCA leadership. And this one caught my eye. And, quote, asked that the committee remove our president and CEO, William J. Canary, by May 1st or June 1st.
Yeah, that's what it is. Bill Canary has been the lightning rod on this, for sure.
I just, when you start talking money and impacting so many...
No, it's called corporate goodwill, Kelly.
Sorry. That. You get the attention of many people. I mean, that's a strongly worded...
it leaves no uncertainty there.
Zero.
For sure. This is a big player when we talk about funders of this candidate versus that candidate, who BCA is backing, who Alabama Power is backing. We've talked about this over the years. This is a split here that is it's probably a lessening of either group's influence. Mm-hmm. In other words, Alabama Power will lessen influence, and obviously BCA will really take it on the chin here. Without them, they still have other people that are funding BCA. But this is a big deal. Senator Cam Ward out of Alabaster, he's been on the show with us a bunch, Republican out of Alabaster, said that's a big deal. That's a big seismic shift there. I think the question is now, where does the power company go? Do they create a whole new organization? Do they maybe join another organization out there? End quote. That's the exact question I asked yesterday. Mm-hmm. Does, you know, if Alabama Power is taking their marbles and going somewhere else to play, right, where are they playing? Are they going to do their own thing and be do you want your utility? This is the thing that is frustrating to me. And when utilities spend money on doing things other than being the utility, mm-hmm, if Alabama Power has a whole separate group that they are using as a lobbying agency, an influence agency, and it's like Alabama Power Politics or whatever it would be, or do they find another group to pair with? This is it's going to be an interesting question. I know for a lot of people, this is not kitchen table discussion because they haven't thought about it, but y'all, this is, you know, back when I told you during the Bentley saga, I said, don't get distracted by all these other things. There's a bigger story going on here. Well, I'm telling you the same thing now. These are the big plays in Alabama politics, and sadly enough, these stories don't get attention like some of the other more salacious stories in our state, but this is where the sausage is being made. This is what comes out during an election cycle, and you're like, well, who funded that, and who's backing that person, and mm-hmm, why is this happening? This is the mechanism of that.
And this is the type of story that, one, your first question is, well, what's going to happen next? You've alluded to perhaps them setting up shop elsewhere, playing their marbles with another company, or maybe just doing their own thing. But then it becomes, well, how does this impact me as a customer? You know, will this impact me on the bottom line? Are we talking some sort of rate increase that you can foresee? Or are we talking about having limited access to certain services? Because that's when you get...
No, you're right. That's what most people care about.
Right.
But I'm trying to remind folks, and listen, because I can go on my own rant about utility rates in the state and the Public Service Commission. We can get into that. But I'll go on, you know, multiple rants about utilities doing things other than what the utility is, you know, and I will ruffle feathers in this town. I've ruffled feathers across the state.
You're a feather ruffler.
Well, I mean, it's true. What compels utilities to get into a bunch of things that aren't delivering whatever power or water or gas they're supposed to deliver? It's a whole nother show. Mm-hmm. But this one is big because this is the power play for Alabama politics, and power play being the pun intended.
Understood.
On that. Also, yes.
Do you think an issue like this kind of goes away November 7th?
No, I think this one going forward is one that will resonate because you've got some big influence. You've got different cabals in Alabama politics, and they will argue, you know, the reason Alabama political reporter, and we'll try to talk to Bill Britt today on the midday show, ran at it so quick is Bill, who I like Bill. Bill's on the show a bunch, but Bill is on a continuous warpath against anything that had touched the hands of Mike Hubbard, right? BCA, a lot of Mike Hubbard influence, and so therefore he will continue to go after it. So, but facts are facts. This did happen. Also, I want to talk about in the second half of the hour, because I'm seeing on the text line, I think this is interesting, and I want y'all to ask yourselves some kind of serious questions here. Not drive-by politics, but serious questions. There are people angry with KIV warning the Trump administration that import tariffs could harm the Alabama economy, that people are taking umbrage with Governor Ivey. Well, then take umbrage with a whole bunch of our representation. Their job is to the state of Alabama, especially if you're the governor, and these tariffs in the short term, or maybe long term, could be bad for Alabama. We'll talk about that when we return. At 8:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. By the way, heads up too, coming up on Midday Mobile today, lots of stuff. We will talk about these Alabama politics stories. Also, an event coming up this weekend that's really neat. And I've seen this as I've driven by or been out in the boat, but not seen it up close and personal. But this weekend may change that. USS Alabama Living History Crew is going to be aboard the ship this weekend, Saturday, for their quarterly drill. Living History Crew is made up of historical reenactors who demonstrate life aboard the USS Alabama during World War II. Among the activities scheduled for the weekend will be a weapons briefing that will explain the type of weapons used aboard the battleship. Guests will witness a general quarters rush to battle stations as enemy aircraft simulate an air attack. That'll be Saturday at 1 in the afternoon. Vintage airplanes doing that, weather permitting. Sailors will man the guns and repel the assault. Among the weapons demonstrated will be the firing of the restored twin 40-millimeter Bofor pom-pom guns mounted to the rear of the ship and the 20-millimeter guns on the main deck. Damage control teams will perform a fire suppression drill, and corpsmen will evacuate wounded sailors. That's just part of it, but we're gonna talk about this with Executive Director at the Battleship, Janet Cobb. She'll join us at 1:30. Neat stuff. And if you got, number one, you're just interested in the history of World War II and the naval campaigns, but if you have children that are going into a grade where they're going to be doing that, or they did it this last year, what a way to make history come alive, to come do that right here in our own backyard at the USS Alabama. All right, grab some calls, and then I want to get into the Governor Ivey story. Catherine is holding on in Mobile. Hey, Catherine.
Hi. How are y'all this morning?
Good. Morning, good.
Well, I would say I was good, but I, as a female, cannot stand watching these children cry and hearing that audio on Father's Day of what's going on to our at our borders. We have got to bring sanity back to this country, and I am asking the women of Alabama to unite once again and to get rid of all these hateful people. If they are not going to govern for everyone of this state, when they are elected, they are supposed to govern for Republicans, Independents, and Democrats, and they have become tribalized. The tribalization in this country is destroying it. You are aiding and abetting the Russians. It is really sad to me that the propaganda has gone to this level. I am a person that believes that sanity will prevail, hopefully. Otherwise, we're plunging into authoritarianism. If we do not all unite and understand that all people, just like birds, just like flowers, just like the butterflies, human beings are different colors. And all of these colors are beautiful, and united, we do a lot better than divided. I'm watching our state divide itself just like it was in the 50s and the 60s. The hate is scaring me to death. I've been around since Eisenhower, so I've seen a lot of presidents. And I voted split ticket. I am a person that believes that voting split ticket is not a sin or a crime. It is what you are supposed to do.
All right, Catherine, I hate to interrupt the manifesto here, but let's address a couple things here. First of all, I do agree with the tribalism. I've lamented that for a long time, but that is as much a problem of the left as the right. I mean, that happens on both sides. I would also, you said somebody's supposed to govern for all Democrats and Republicans. That's fine. They're supposed to govern for all Americans. So, I'm with you. I said yesterday, if you don't see these children there, don't hear the audio, don't see the pictures, and don't have your heartstrings tugged, then you're not alive. I get it. I'm a father. I absolutely think that is a horrible thing. But there's a choice being made here. Now, I will say, in all honesty, you have the Attorney General Sessions enforcing a rule of law that's been on the books that has not been enforced in the past by prosecuting a first-time illegal border crosser as a criminal prosecution, which then puts into the domino effect, they have to be split off from their children. People will point out a lot of times in these arguments, Catherine, that say, you know, somebody goes and breaks the law here in our country, they're split from their children as well if they go to jail. What do you do? Instead of just lamenting and saying that, this is horrible and authoritarian rule is coming, what do you do specific to the border? How would you deal with that any differently if your job was to secure the border? What would be the solution?
The way the last three serving presidents did, sir.
What? So not enforce the law?
At the checkpoints for amnesty, they take them to a judge, and the judge decides. They do not put little children in cages.
Okay. Well, amnesty is a different thing, though, Catherine. Catherine.
Let me say something.
Well, I want to say something too. No, Catherine. Hold on. I got the big switch here, Catherine. There are two things going on here. Don't conflate them. There's a plea for amnesty, which is something that is being gamed out there, but there's also illegal immigration crossing. Kirstjen Nielsen, DHS Secretary, yesterday said, if you're applying for amnesty, you come to one of the entry points and claim amnesty. You don't claim amnesty after you came across the border and get caught.
That's exactly right, sir. But do you realize that that is a misdemeanor? and they are making it, they are criminally prosecuting people for a misdemeanor, stealing their children from them, deporting the parents and keeping the children here.
They didn't do that. They don't deport the... Wait, Catherine, get the facts straight. I may agree with you with a lot of this, but you talk about tribalism, you're getting half the facts right. They do not keep the children and deport the parents. They're separated from the parents because the parents now go to a, air quotes here, jail. You can't put the children in jail. They, you know, they're not going to go to a jail facility. So they're being separated here in the United States. If they're deported, their children go with them. We're not keeping their children and deporting them.
Sir, you didn't see the news yesterday. They showed three cases where it was not so.
Okay, tell me that we're keeping the children and sending the parents back across the border. Tell me, where's that example?
They have not. Well, they said it yesterday on TV. I saw it on CNN, MSNBC, C-SPAN was talking about it. They cited cases of this. Okay, go call. Check your facts.
I do check my facts, Catherine. That's something I'm good at that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. You have a situation here that is bad. I agree with you. I agree. This is the tough thing, that where I end up at the end of the week, that nobody likes me. Oh, well, I don't give a darn, okay? I don't care. But there's issues on both sides of this. Both sides of this. And if you have laws on the books, now, I will say, and we talked about it with Brendan Kirby yesterday, the Trump administration and Attorney General Sessions is enforcing law that's on the books that was not enforced in the past. Why have the law on the books? This goes back to my whole debate on the marijuana states and all these things. It's not that I have an issue with those states, what they want to do, but you can't have a federal law that says something and not enforce it. What is having cake and eating it too has been going on in Washington for too long. You have a situation where you have a law on the books, and then you have the executive branch or others, depending on who's in the White House and to some degree the legislative branch, telling law enforcement, don't enforce that law. Oh, go enforce that law. That other one, don't enforce. But that one... That is a rule of whimsy. That is a rule of man. That is not a rule of law. You either have a law on the books that you enforce, or you change the law if the law is unjust. Now, do I believe there's politics being played on both sides of this issue? You darn Skippy, I do. And do I feel that my heart breaks like so many Americans for those children down there? Absolutely. But make sure you have your facts straight, too. 8:43 FM Talk. Okay, I'll take one more call here before the break. Let's see here. Let's go to John in Mobile. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I wonder where Catherine's selective outrage was in 2014 when the picture that she saw with the children in cages, when that picture was taken under her beloved Barack. Don't come, don't bring your children. Another thing that we're finding out is a huge number of these children do not belong to the people they're with. The drug smugglers are paying people to bring...
Right. But John, the same way I did with Catherine, there are examples of that, but that is not the majority. Those are cases out there. But let's talk about what's in the middle here. You got people, let's say that's their kids. They figured out, here's the formula. If you travel with your children in the past, this has worked for you. We have a law on the books that is, the Trump administration didn't come up with the law. Jeff Sessions didn't come up with the law. They chose to enforce it now. And it's unfair yesterday for the president to say, well, it's the Democrats' fault. No, it's not. It's a choice that they made, that Trump and Sessions made. But it is a law on the books. So if we're going to have that law, and you're enforcing that law, and that causes people to say this law is unjust, you see it right now. You have Democrats and Republicans trying to figure out how to pass some law to figure this out. Well, good. Maybe a fire needed to be lit under some butts there, so we didn't exist in this world where there are laws in the books, but we selectively enforce some and don't enforce others. That's my frustration.
Yeah, I agree. Kind of like when Eric Holder and Obama decided, we really don't like the Defense of Marriage Act, even though it's a law, so we're not going to enforce it.
Right. If you don't, and I've said this to the people that are proponents of legalized marijuana in the states, the best thing that could happen for you, because I think those people are on the right side of popular opinion and where the money is right now, is having Attorney General Sessions enforce the law, because that makes Congress have to do something. When they can sit back and talk out of both sides of their mouth that, it's okay, but it's still against the law, then they have, you know, then they're in the catbird seat. But when you force somebody to say, well, we got to either change the law or I have to double down on this law, then it makes the legislature do what they're supposed to do, and that is deal with the laws of this nation. Appreciate the call, John. Coming right back. Head to the news break, 846 FM Talk 1065. All right, 850 FM Talk 1065, Mobile Mornings. Sean, Kelly, hey, Dalton will be back with us next week. Corey will be back tomorrow morning for more sports.
Yeah, Dee needed some R&R. He works so hard.
Yes.
Wears many, many hats here at FM Talk 106.5.
Yes, the one I love best is the one that's the paper folded hat thing. It's a good look. Hey, speaking of good looks, that new Mazda 3.
You like it?
Yeah.
You know I've named him White Lightning.
White Lightning.
Yes. This is the 2018 Mazda 3 Touring. It seats five. We're the Fab Five, so it makes perfect sense, right? If you're new to the market, what I've been doing is testing different vehicles under the Dean McCrary umbrella. So I am with the all-new Dean McCrary Mazda dealership testing this bad boy out. This is the type of vehicle. I was with a girlfriend yesterday, and she's like, what is that? It's that type of vehicle. It's a keeper.
Mm-hmm.
Safety, of course, is a priority. That's what really Mazda is all about. When you see the name and you see that aggressive grill, or maybe it's a smiling grill, depending on how you're looking at the vehicle.
Right.
I always think about, you know, in the morning, what can I tell people so they understand just how great this brand is? Priority, of course, is safety. You have those sensors which alert you if you're going too far to the right or too far to the left. Man, that might work in the political world.
That's right.
World.
That's right. We need that.
I just saw your wheels turning.
Yeah, exactly. You see how my brain works, right?
And the backup camera allows you to make sure that there's no one walking behind you. You think about all the kids who are out during the summertime running and playing. You want to be safe as you're backing your vehicle from its position. Driver side, passenger side have airbags. Love the push button start. And of course, the sunroof is a favorite. Legroom is a must. I always talk about how tall the children are. I mean, I'm the shortest one in the house. I just want to put that into your brain, Sean. The mm-hmm. tallest is like, he's like 5'9".
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not. So, between the legroom that we need in that trunk space, I'm loving that. Did my usual grocery shopping. And because the children were not in the car, I was able to put the back seat down. So extra spacious cargo. Yes, please. And that makes sense if you have maybe your sleeping bags or your Yeti cooler. You want to throw that back there? This is the vehicle for you. So this is a 2018 Mazda 3 Touring, which you can purchase right now. Just go to the all-new Dean McCrary Mazda dealership on the East Service Road of I-65, and you can call them 471-DEAN.
All right, 853 FM Talk 106.5. We'll go to the phones at 343-0106. This is interesting. It's either a descriptor or a nickname, Old Man and Foley. Check it in. Hey, Old Man and Foley.
I have two questions for that woman that called in earlier. 1,700 miles across the Mexican plains, they came by bus and train load, and Mexico never touched them. Got the strongest immigration laws in the world. Why? And secondly, there's tens, if not hundreds of thousands, of men and women, legal U.S. citizens, locked up in jail for shoplifting, stealing, DUI, what have you, that is separated from their children. Let's open the gates up and turn them all loose if we're going to treat illegal immigrants above the American citizen. Y'all have a nice day.
All right. Thank you, Ben. So just a comment there. I mean, a couple things in defense of the other side of this is, number one, it would be like if shoplifting had not been enforced, mm-hmm. you know, just like you got a paper citation or whatever, and then, you know, the following week, all of a sudden, you went to enforcing the laws on shoplifting, which hopefully for fair-minded Americans would make them say, why have a law on the books if you're not going to enforce it? Okay. I once again realize there's political motivations going on here. And yes, it is incredibly sad, the situation with it. But understand, too, that you're going to have your heartstrings pulled on here. That's what the politics of this is, what you do on both sides. But you gotta, you know, just make sure you understand the facts in this situation. And it's not a pretty situation at all. But you have a law on the books. Now, the Trump administration has chosen to enforce it through Attorney General Sessions. And my argument would be it should have been enforced the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing is when you enforce a law that might be unpopular, then what happens here is people are upset and outraged. Listen, there is bipartisan. There are Republicans that are pushing for some amendment. I want to keep these families together, too. I don't want to hurt families. I don't want to hurt people. So they're pushing for this. Well, now all of a sudden Congress has to go, we can't say we got this law and then not enforce it. We got to make a choice, and we'll see what comes out and how the votes go.
But, you know, what is troubling is that there are a number of people, you know, behind the scenes, both sides of the aisle, who are grumbling and complaining, yet they won't say anything publicly, because we know that we are in some states in an election year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And people are protecting their hide. And so while, you know, they couldn't imagine this happening to their own children, but it's okay for it to happen to someone else's children, because...
Is it that they say it's okay?
But if you're not standing up if you're not standing up and saying how you feel, then you are part of the problem.
Is it an unfair situation? Could you stand up?
Mm-hmm.
Can you stand up for... And this is not me even projecting, but let's say for that person, can you stand up for a tightened border, whether the wall or whatever it is, enforcing the laws, can you do that and still care about families and children? I think you can. I think the unfair political discussion is if somebody stands up for this, then they must hate people.
No, I think you can go with plan A, which you just mentioned, but you have got to demand that these families know where their children are. I mean, one of the big issues that came out yesterday is we're seeing videos of little boys playing video games, all that good stuff. Where are the little girls? Where are these babies? There's no accountability.
They could be a 1 month.
Like, and as a mother to a daughter, you think about what happens.
Oh, being broken up from your family, it's the fear of every parent. I'm with you.
Right. But if you can be for this, okay, but you can also demand that there's an integrity brought about with this whole entire situation.
That's fair.
And as a mother, it is heartbreaking. I mean, if you don't have a heartbeat, I'm sorry for you, but you're hearing these children crying and begging for their parents, their mom, their aunt.
It's absolutely heartbreaking.
Horrible.
And so do you then, in this, force Congress to do something to figure out another solution? Is there not just an A and a B, is there a C?
Figure out something where you uphold the law, but these people know where their family members are. That's
right.
What you do.
There we go. Let's go back to the phones. And Buck in Hurley. Hey, by the way, Buck, tomatoes went very quickly around here, and I had some of those eggs this morning. Fantastic.
Awesome. So I think that both, you're right, Kelly is absolutely right, about who in the world a reasonable person would want to separate families. Okay, the rumor or the facts will be getting out now in Central America. Don't come here. You're going to be separated. You're not getting in. I think that's part of the brilliance of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He takes such an extreme position that he forces action.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a bargaining. Yep. It's a bargaining measure that he uses. And I love that about him. We weren't talking about it before. We weren't talking about it under Obama. We're talking about it now.
Yeah, if you want change to the laws, too, I mean, this is the best thing, because it forces, like you said, Buck, it forces the discussion. You got to quit having your cake and eating it, too. What are we going to do as a country moving forward? Time to make a decision.
We need to absolutely secure the border. And it's not just people coming from Central America that concern me. It's people more coming from the Middle East, ISIS, people that absolutely hate us. Now, can they get in through Canada? You know what? They can. But as of right now, the northern border isn't so much of an issue as the southern border, when you have thousands of people coming across the border every day. We can't feed the world. We can't take care of the world. It's a real shame that that they're born in the unfortunate situation that they're in. How about taking care of some American veterans? How about dealing with some of the homelessness in California?
There you go. Buck, appreciate the call. We got to jump. Do it again at noon today.